Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America. I'm Jim to the PC. It is Saturday, the 23rd of September, Anno Domini 2017, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Here comes the news. A software package update for a Windows utility product distributed by antivirus vendor Avast has been spreading an unsavory surprise, a malware package that could allow affected computers to be remotely accessed or controlled with what appears to be a legitimate signing certificate. The malware, which was distributed through the update server for the Windows cleanup utility CCleaner, was apparently inserted by an attacker who compromised the software supply chain of Piriform, which was acquired by Avast in July. There have been more than 2 billion downloads of CCleaner worldwide, so the potential impact of the malware is huge. In a blog post Monday morning, people at Cisco's Talos Intelligence reported that Talos had detected the malware during beta testing of a new exploit detection technology. The malware was part of the signed installer for CCleaner version 5.3. Copies of the malicious software installer were distributed to CCleaner users between August 15th and September 12th using a valid certificate issued by, to Piriform Limited by Symantec. The CCleaner malware infected at least 20 computers from a carefully selected list of high-profile technology companies with a mysterious payload. Previously, researchers found no evidence that any of the computers infected by the booby-trapped version had received a second-stage payload. The new evidence, called from data left on a command and control server during the last 4 days attackers operated, shows otherwise. Of 700,000 infected PCs, 20 of them belonging to highly targeted companies did receive the second stage. Because the CCleaner backdoor was active for 31 days, the total number of infected computers is likely at least in the order of hundreds, said researchers from Avast, the antivirus company that acquired CCleaner in July, and they said that during their own analysis published on Thursday. The highly advanced second stage was reserved for computers inside 20 companies or web properties, including Cisco, Microsoft, Gmail, VMware, Akamai, Sony, and Samsung. The 20 computers that installed the payload were from 8 of those targeted organizations, Avast said, without identifying which ones. Again, because the data covers only a small fraction of the time the backdoor was active, both Avast and Talos believe the true number of targets and victims was much bigger. So do you still use CCleaner? That's our poll of the week. Do you still use CCleaner? And your choices are, of course, not anymore, and never had it, never will. That's right. So far, we've got 23 votes and 43% of you, that is 10 votes, say you never had it and you never will. Now, before you get all excited, this is strictly the Windows download version, and I keep hearing that it's only the 32-bit version, but I don't necessarily know that. Anyway, we have I know you will have more to say about this. If you scroll down on the right side of the Soundbites webpage, that's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, under fascinating stuff, you'll see the forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion. And currently, at least, the first item under the poll discussion is 23-SEP-17. Do you still use CCleaner? 3 posts there so far. And, of course, we'd love to have you join us in talking about that. And then, of course, you can join us online, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Now, I want to reiterate, this is only the Windows version of CCleaner, and it is only the 32-bit version of the Windows version for CCleaner. So those of you, and we'll politely call you diehards, who are still using XP and 7, are at risk.
You're hosed.
And, well, and there's no help for you.
Well, CCleaner, I've never been a fan of CCleaner. It seems like that's come under attack a number of times.
Yeah.
And it's caught, you know, and it picks up some garbage and holds and hides other stuff. And I say it's, I've always taken it out when I've seen it on people's machines.
I have removed it from the Security Tango.
Yeah, once you're in, you know, it's that dangerous thing that once you're infected, you can never be sure you're clean.
Right. Well, and of course, and in terms of the company itself, even though they've been doing updates, and even though, you know, the Mac version and the Android version and all of that stuff were not infected, they're tainted now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the Kaspersky software.
Yeah.
For all we know, it's a perfectly legitimate and wonderful piece of software. People are dumping it left and right.
Yep.
It's hard. It's hard. Trust is hard. And once you lose it, getting it back is almost impossible.
Well, that's like I say, it's been at least what, good 4 or 5 years that I've not been a fan of CCleaner. It seems to have messed up other machines, especially back when Norton used to get in there and they conflict with that and, you know, taking stuff out. And that. So I just take CCleaner out. I mean, you know, if you run the super anti-spyware and the malware bytes, that seem to do a pretty darn good job of getting through the registry and taking that stuff out. And then if you use Revo uninstaller,
right,
that helps keep the registry a lot cleaner, so it's less places for other stuff to hide.
Right.
Yeah, one of the problems that people face, and we see a lot of our customers doing this too, is what programs do you trust when it pops up and says you have a problem? And the short answer is none of them.
Right, exactly.
But, yeah, we had a customer the other day install something called Slime Cleaner that they thought was legitimate to clean off the other stuff they already had. Well, a quick Google search of Slime Cleaner showed, you know, the first 5 hits were how to remove, you know, malware, how to, is this dangerous? Yes. So before you install anything, Google the name of the product, and you'll probably find complaints very quickly if it is malware or adware or malicious
or
of
known
some sort,
to be, yeah,
or known to be a problem.
Right.
And there are so many fake programs; it's very difficult to keep your eyes on the real ones.
Yeah.
So our listeners know, you know, malware bytes and super anti spyware are the good ones,
right.
And ignore the other ones.
Yep. Right, and of course, let me put in a quick plug for the Chromebook.
Yeah.
The smug among us who have bought Chromebooks.
But you still get the fake ads and still and, call right. the phone number and give them your credit card.
Right.
And then when they want you to download Log Me In,
right,
nothing happens.
Right.
Yeah.
It's too late. They already have your credit card number.
Yeah, and they're gone. Yeah. And you agreed to do it, so you're a host.
And what they're doing now is not just stealing your money. What you agreed to was to sign up for a service.
Hmm. Right, and that's how they're skirting the laws a little more. You're signing a service contract.
Right.
You're not paying for a specific service. That would be fraud. You're signing a contract that says you can call them and do anything you want.
Right.
And you can call them for their service at any time.
Right.
And we've had our customers who dispute that, and the bad guys will produce a service contract signed, in quotes, in a script font. Look, he signed it. And so this one customer has been going back and forth between the bank, the credit card company, and the bad guys. You know, somebody says, yeah, you're right, that's fraud, and takes the money away. And then the company gets to respond and say, well, no, he signed a contract, and then the money goes back. And they're fighting back and forth over it.
Yep. All right. To the phones. Our first caller is Andy from Greece, New York. Hi, Andy. What's up?
Hi, guys. Quick question. You said that Linksys and Google were targeted companies?
I said Gmail was a targeted company.
I'm sorry, Gmail and Linksys, right?
No. Hold on a second. I'm looking that up, the list. Cisco, Microsoft, Gmail, VMware, Akamai, Sony, and Samsung. Now, of course, Linksys is owned by Cisco, so...
Not anymore. They sold it to Belkin.
Right, that's right. They sold it to Belkin. So, no.
Oh. All right, so I don't have to worry about Linksys as much, but Google? Gmail?
Well, Gmail is not all of Google.
I mean, I'm looking at it. I don't use CC Cleaner, but I have a Linksys router that my whole house runs through,
here's the problem. What you're seeing is that was infected and somehow will infect you. What it's done is it's infected machines at those companies in an attempt to steal information from those companies.
Okay.
And yes, to pass it on to you, but in terms of something like Gmail, I don't even see how that's possible.
You would have to get a fake message with the malicious code attached, and you'd have to install that malicious code yourself.
Right. So the basic idea is, yes, they have infected some machines at Gmail, I suspect in the hopes of being able to gather usernames and passwords to Gmail, but not to pass it on to you. See the difference?
Yeah. But if they gather usernames and passwords to use maliciously, that could come back and bite me, too.
Well, yes, absolutely it could. But it's, you know, that's, look what Equifax, look what happened with Equifax. And then on top of that, there was another breach that they never told anybody about. And then on top of that, they sent people to the wrong website to sign up for, to see if they were infected. So...
and Target and Home Depot and
yeah, I know.
Every company. Right. Yeah, well, that's the problem.
Okay, so... I guess I have to hope that Cisco and Gmail and all those other companies are now aware of it and taking appropriate steps to figure out what it is and get rid of it before it gets out there and nails the rest of us.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
And you brought up an interesting point, the Experian thing. Could you put a link on the site for the correct site to go to see if we got damage?
Sure. We will do that.
I'm not home. I'm on the cell right now, and I can't.
Right. We will do that.
Yeah, because I read. I mean, I heard you guys talking about it, and I read some things that said, you know, this is not a good thing, and it's not. You know, I don't like the way this is going.
The website.
So I held off going out looking to see if I was affected by it, and you just said that they corrected where you go to look. So I'm hoping that that's now a safe thing to do, and I can figure out whether my stuff has been compromised.
One of the problems is that Experian basically contracted with another company.
No, it's Equifax.
I'm sorry. That's right. Experian's the other one. They contracted with another company to do the public, you know, a reporting problem. And it was... a weird name. I'm trying to get back to it now. So it was
Equifax Security 2017 or Security Equifax 2017.
Right.
But one of them is fake and one of them is real.
Here, trustedidpartner.com is where they send you to see if you're part of the exposure or not. And right off the bat, trustedidpremier.com, I would not trust just by its name. But that is the legitimate Equifax company that they're using, and it's got the Equifax logos on it. But if you would stumble across that website yourself, you wouldn't have trusted it.
Right.
But by starting at Equifax.com, that's where you get to.
Okay.
And so it says they're currently experiencing difficulties with their website, and it may be unavailable periodically because so many people are going to it.
Oh, right. So it's... And, of course, the guy who took out the other one, like I said, one of them is EquifaxSecurity2017.com and the other is SecurityEquifax2017.com. We'll talk more about this when we come back. Got to take a quick break. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, and you, 19 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we have Andy from Greece on the line. You still there, Andy?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. So if you go to the Equifax website, And in my case, it took me directly to the personal tab. It talks about the Equifax cybersecurity incident and sends you to EquifaxSecurity2017.com. If you go to whois at whois.com and look up Equifax2017.com, it tells you that it is indeed registered to Equifax. So theoretically, it's okay to go there. Of course, considering they were breached, it may be not. But they already have all your information, so it's not like you're giving it to somebody new. Okay. So the place to go is EquifaxSecurity2017.com.
That almost implies they're waiting for a different breach to put another year in there.
Exactly.
Or maybe they had an older breach. Try Equifax Security, 2015.
Well, here's the thing I don't get. Why didn't they put it right on their own website?
Yeah.
Which would have made more sense to the average person. I'm sure there's a bean counter somewhere who thinks the intertubes are some newfangled thing who decided this was a better idea. But in fact, it's not really a better idea at all.
Maybe they were afraid it would be an additional attack point or something?
Well, this is an additional attack point, isn't it? I mean, no matter how you do it, it's an additional attack point. And if they are in any way connected to the database, the poor system administrators just now have one more machine that they have to harden.
Who's it hosted by?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It doesn't say. Technical contact is all of them. Yeah. So it's I don't know. I guess however you want to do that. Who is it hosted by? Who are there? See, I'm on a Chromebook, so I don't see. Oh, there's the name servers, Cloudflare.
Okay, so Cloudflare, I've read statistics that they run about 10% of the internet.
Yep,
it's a content distribution network, and they specialize in denial of service prevention, and so a lot of people use them for that. And they are one of the first companies to find the denial of service attacks because they run so much of the big companies.
So, yeah. So that's that. That answer your question?
Okay. Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
I was just nervous about whether the site, but you've given me the address, and I'm sure that the link will be up there so I can check it later this afternoon.
Right.
And as always, thank you very much, gentlemen.
All right, thanks.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's always very hard when there's a breach like that. You do everything right, but a company that you gave your information to so that you could buy something, or in the sense of Equifax, that the government says should have your information.
Yeah. I mean, this is a lot of information. I mean, you know, Social Security.
It's pretty much everything.
Yeah. Background, you know, I mean, it's just not like filling out a form where, you know, you get your address and phone number and where you live. You know, it can have credit card information, you know, the whole nine yards. It's your whole life history there. And 143 million people are hosed.
Everything the bad guys need to create a fake person and steal your identity.
And that's the whole thing, folks. Here's the thing. They don't need it for very long. You know, if they can get in, grab your information, and do some damage within, you know, a few hours,
yep,
they're good. If they can sit there, open up a credit card, turn around, get that accepted, and then charge the heck out of it, and then gone, they're happy. Meanwhile, you know, you've got to repair your credit.
Yep.
And it, like I say, it happens that fast in the black web. Folks think, you know, the black web is, you know, it's out there.
And then it comes around again later. That was one of the interesting things about the LinkedIn breach. What was that, 2012?
Mm-hmm.
And then 5 years later, that data showed up on the dark web for sale. And so LinkedIn put out another round of emails, you know, warning people that it was coming around. So we don't know what has happened to the data that was leaked. We don't know what data was leaked. We don't know where it is. Until the good guys start noticing it showing up for sale, we'll probably never know exactly what was taken and how much.
Right. Now I just did put my information in there. And it said, based on the information provided, we believe that your personal your personal information was not impacted by this incident. Apparently using impact as if it were a verb.
Yeah.
And then it wants me to enroll in Trusted ID Premier.
Yeah, you get a free year of credit monitoring, just like every other breach.
Right.
Yeah. But they are the credit monitoring company that got breached. So that's what
double-edged sword.
And that's what makes this an especially bad problem, is because they are the people that house all of our valuable data, mm-hmm. and our credit history and our you know, payment histories, and all that, you know, has got to be expensive for the bad guys to buy.
Yep.
But that's everything they want.
And it's only for a year, and does this automatically enroll me in the next year and the next year and the next year unless I remember a year from now?
I mean,
do they want your credit card for the second year payment?
But a lot of companies might stop using them.
They don't need my credit card number. They have it.
Yeah, they've got all that. But a lot of companies, you know, that do, you know, background checks and that on you for, say, credit, this could be their downfall, too, or, you know, a big problem for Equifax because, you know, not using their services. There's others out there.
Well, there's three of them, Transperia, Equifax, and
TransUnion.
TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we only know about Equifax,
mm-hmm.
but it's already set up. All three of them get all your information.
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm. And you can stop using Equifax if you want to, but that doesn't mean that they don't already have your information and won't get any new information.
Right.
You recently changed your credit card. Equifax has that information, too.
Yep. Or you sign up for a new credit card. You don't know what company that credit card company is using to check your credit to give you the card.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That could be a big problem right now. People are running scared because of the breach. You know, 143 million people, you know, start using one of the other two companies instead.
Right. Well, all three of them have all your information.
Oh, yeah. They all have your information, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
It's scary. It's a slippery slope that you go down.
I know. And then, of course, if you want to check your credit information, you can either pay your credit information.
No, I was just going to interrupt for 1 minute. What a lot of folks don't realize, you are entitled to once a year. Get your credit report, your full credit report. So if you really have it, you can go to
annualcreditreport.com is the one that the FTC has officially said you should.
And you can have a copy of your full credit report either emailed to you, or if you really don't want it floating around on the web, have it mailed to you. And it will come in the mail.
Brought to you by Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's a good thing, you know, to check once in a while. Just literally get a full report.
Well, check it once a year.
Yeah.
If you check it more often.
Yeah.
So if you get, for example, if this had come back and said, we think your information was impacted by this report, then I'd go to annualcreditreport.com and get my thing. But 3 months from now, it happens again. If I want my information again, I pay for it.
Right.
Yep.
My thought is Equifax ought to be paying for anybody who wants an annual credit report, annual or not. Right?
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, but they're looking at the dollar.
If you got breached, you should pay when I want to know if I'm safe.
And somebody should be doing something about that they want you to sign up for the service, you know, because, like you say, it doesn't have to come out right now. They could lay dormant for a while, have all that information, and wait, you know, until a year goes by or whatever. They've got all that stuff, and they can slowly leak it out here and there when they want.
Yep.
I mean, there is no time constraint. If they've already got that information, you're hosed.
Yep.
And that's exactly the whole thing with the web, though. Once it's out there, folks, like anything else, once it's out there, it's out there. You can't get rid of it. It can hide in other pockets all over the world. You know, and that's why they call it the World Wide Web.
Yeah.
So people should be running a credit monitoring service already. I personally use Credit Karma, and they send me offers for new credit cards, but so far it's been completely free. You get your scores, you get your credit history.
And you don't get all of it, but you get
enough of it to keep track of it.
Right. It's not as full as annual credit report.
Right. No. But what it does let you do is make sure that the charges it shows you are legitimate cards, that you do have that card, you do have that car loan, and there isn't a mistake already, because mistakes have happened. And that, who was it? Steve Gibson says, you know, everyone makes mistakes. It's how you respond to the mistake. If you try to cover it up and blame someone else, that's bad.
Right. Well, yeah. And they'll let you dispute stuff now.
Yep.
And if you can prove that, you know, that's been resolved or anything else, you can go to them and fill out a dispute online on that site, and they'll look into it for you and get it removed.
Here's the other thing that we're all just glossing by here. This problem only hit 32-bit Windows systems. That means Cisco, Microsoft, Gmail, VMware, Akamai, Sony, and Samsung are all still using 32-bit Windows systems. What the hell?
Or maybe that's just all the code the bad guys could get when they were rummaging around inside CCleaner source code.
Maybe.
Hopefully. Why don't I always look on the good side?
Yeah, right. But frankly, I don't know how happy I am. And Microsoft is still using Windows 7 and Windows XP. What the hell?
It's a test machine. One test machine.
It's not like they even
somewhere.
Have to pay for a license, for Pete's sake.
I bet they make their employees. It goes into the budget center for whatever department they're in.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they don't. We even get a discount? No, we're Microsoft.
We don't give discounts.
All right, we got a few minutes at least to get the question from Dave from Canandaigua, New York. What's up, Dave?
Oh, it's a beautiful day out, but I'm inside. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Not a question. I just wanted to call to turn this from a computer show into a financial services show.
Sure, of course, not a problem.
I don't know the exact details. I've been following this myself a little bit, but you can, in fact, go to each of those three companies and put a hold on things.
Right,
so
right.
Nobody
some of them call it a
freeze.
Nobody can
open up a new credit card in your name or anything like that.
Yeah. Right.
And they probably got to go to Google to figure out the exact steps involved. But
right. It's called a credit freeze. And it prevents anybody, including you, by the way,
right,
from doing anything different to your car, like getting a new card or getting a car loan or any of that stuff. And the basic idea is that that will also freeze out the bad guys.
Right, and you just got to go through a lot of hassle if you do need to get a new card.
Right. If you need to get a new card or you're going to get a car loan or a house loan or anything that has any impact at all on your credit, then you have to take off that freeze, which is not an easy thing to do. And by the way, in order to put that credit freeze on and take that credit freeze off, you have to have all the information that got stolen from Equifax.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they already got it anyway.
Right.
So the bad guy can call up and say, please unfreeze my account.
Exactly. There's no upside to this. There really is not. All right, thanks so much, Dave.
Sure.
We appreciate that. Yeah. So I don't know what the resolution is going to be. I don't know that there is one. It's a mess.
Brian Krebs is reporting that actually has already happened.
There you go.
Someone called up Experian and got the unfreeze pin from someone else's account.
Yep. Unfroze the thing and ran up a bunch of credit, and there you are. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break while we all cower in the corner and suck on our thumbs. Back in just a few moments with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, and as you already know, that's Soundbites, right here in the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
43 minutes after the hour. We are soundbites.
Yeah,
it's the equinox. Dave, after today, days are getting shorter.
Dave didn't get the memo to wear a blue shirt today, I guess.
I know, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
Did you see mine? And I've got three of them, because that's the color. That's the exact color of our shirts that I wear for work.
Oh, there you go. Apple has announced its new smartphone, iPhone 10.
That was disappointing.
The X is a 10. The device is extremely expensive, starting at $1,000. So potential buyers are asking themselves, is it really worth it? One factor that might influence your decision is the fact that Apple seems to want more money for fewer features. Most prominently, iPhone 10 doesn't include Touch ID fingerprint authentication system, but instead checks that your identity is authentic with Face ID, which is used to unlock the phone and authorize payments. That prompts another question. Is Face ID better? You might expect a new system to offer better security, and Apple's website states that your face is your secure password. That statement is a bit misleading, however. Your fingerprints and face are a biometric, a measurable biological characteristic. The main benefit of biometric security is obvious. If a thief can't use a phone because it's secure, they have less incentive to steal it. Secure authentication is a desirable feature because your phone is valuable, not only in terms of financial cost, but because of the priceless data it holds, like irreplaceable photos, private messages, and email addresses. Biometric security is popular because it's so simple to use. There's no need for a passcode. You just put your finger or face in front of the mobile phone and it will unlock it. Understanding why Face ID isn't more secure involves being able to distinguish between absolute and relative security. Although face recognition is absolutely better than no protection at all, it is not relatively more secure than Touch ID. Journalists have already brought up the scenario that if you're arrested, the police have only to hold up the phone to your face while innocently asking, "Is this your phone?" and it will magically unlock for them. For those planning to buy iPhone 10, the question is whether face recognition works best for you. So how do you unlock your phone? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
Yeah, the same is true for fingerprint ID. They can touch your fingerprint to the phone, but not a passcode that you remember. So
right, that's actually a legal ruling.
Although there's been some interesting arguments and judgments both ways, I forget what jurisdiction, but one judge said, you don't have to tell us your passcode, you just have to type it in.
Right.
Which, okay, I guess you're not divulging the information, but they still get your stuff.
Right, yeah. Right.
But Apple did say, but I haven't seen their statistics and their data source, that the Touch ID is good for about 1 in 50,000. And the Face ID is good for about 1 in 1,000,000.
Unless you have an evil twin.
Correct. And they did show Spock and evil Spock.
Yes.
In there.
Yes. But if you have a twin, then you shouldn't use Face ID at all. If you they don't necessarily mean a biological twin. I mean, how many times I met a guy who was me.
Buzzo.
You know, No. But I did. Many years ago, I met a guy who was me. He was actually the ex of a girl I was dating.
No wonder she dated you.
Exactly. Long story. Anyway, the point here is I'm an actor. I know what my body and my face look like. I know how I move. I know what. This guy was me.
Ooh.
And it was just, you know, everybody's got a twin somewhere.
Yep.
And
yep.
There he was. And so there's at least two people who can unlock pretty much every Apple ID or Face ID Apple phone around.
Although I've kind of joked for years about car keys. There's only so many ways you can cut that key.
Right.
It's, what, like 10,000 or some very ridiculously small number.
Yeah, right.
But the car manufacturers intentionally ship cars to different parts of the country. So it's possible that you can use your key to unlock someone else's car. Just try them all and
How many times have we seen that, particularly back in the day when you used a key to unlock the car?
Yep.
People would unlock the car, get in it, sit down, and the key wouldn't work.
Well, that's why they're going to, you know, the keyless
entry. Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
You know, the keyless, you know, where you don't actually have a key.
Where they
key,
have billions like of combinations.
Right. There's a fob. Right. Or you don't even have to put the key in there. You can have the keys on you and just hit the start button.
So then the bad guy with the radio scanner picks it up when you lock it and then goes over and plays it back and unlocks it.
Right. Remember when garage door openers first came out? They were touted to be so secure because if you didn't have the code, you couldn't open the garage door. And then about 2 weeks later, scanners came out and garage doors all over town were opening up.
Yep. Going back, though, to this. Now, they just were selling a brand new iPhone this week, correct?
Yeah, the iPhone 8.
Well, that's a problem, too.
Well, that's what I say. They have to be awful disappointed because the lines weren't there.
Well, that was an interesting story. A couple, 3 years ago, Angela Ahrens was hired to run retail. And she apparently hated lines. And so what they did is they allow you to pre-order. So no one has to wait in line before anymore. If you wanted a new one, you could pre-order it. So every now and then we'll see people waiting in line. Because then the problem is if you didn't pre-order it on the first day, you're 3, 6, 10 weeks out. And so people would line up at the stores hoping there would be some left over there. But lines have been dropping over, you know, for the last couple of years because it's pre-order. It's not as hard to get anymore.
Now, do you think the 10 is going to be that much bigger than the 8?
Very good question. They expect to sell about 200 million of them, but that's kind of the minimum number of iPhones they sell.
My question is how many people buy the 8 now because it's new and then buy the 10 in 2 months because it's new?
Well, there will be people who do that.
Oh, there's purists. Yep. You got to have the latest
You got to have the latest and greatest.
But $1,000 for a phone?
Yeah.
That's
about the same price as the Note 8 and the...
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then there's that psychological issue, right? $800 is a lot of money for a phone, but $1,000 is a whole lot more money, even though it's only
$200
more.
That's why it's
$999.
Well, that's where, believe it or not, I've been hearing a lot of folks want to just lease the phone.
Well, you do the payment plan.
Right.
So it's not a contract anymore, it's a payment.
Yeah, you lease it, and then after so many years, you can turn it in for another.
Right, and that's where it's a little easier. You know, you're paying $20 a month for one phone, you're paying $35 a month for another phone. It's only $15 a month. Well, that's a lot of money for some people, but not a lot for others.
Right.
You know, if you're cash rich and brain poor,
right now, the iPhone 8 Plus, which is their bigger screen, is $40 a month, or you pay $800 outright for it.
Right.
One of the things they have Apple has started doing is their upgrade program. You pay a little bit more every month, and you always get the new phone every year.
Right.
Which, in essence, means you're always paying for it. So what used to be the idea was you pay your two-year contract, and then you didn't have to pay for the phone anymore. You just pay for the service. Nowadays, people want the new phone every year.
Right.
Although we, you know, us three and some of our listeners, you know, we're that weird bunch where we have to have the latest technology. We run into people all the time who are running 5-year-old phones and they don't care. They make phone calls with it.
I saw an old friend of mine that has a little flip phone.
Yep.
A little
still a flip phone, yeah.
Yep. We should probably get to the phone. Mark from Greece has been waiting patiently for a while. Sorry, Mark. What's up?
Hey, I was just, had two things to say. One was, on the sea cleaner, I was warned by my antivirus malware program webroot this past week that I was infected, and supposedly it cleaned it up. I ran the Security Tango after that, but I was running the 64-bit version.
Oh, no kidding!
So I don't know.
Oh, that's interesting.
If there's any truth to that, because it came up with the path of CCleaner, and it was a Trojan, so
maybe
interesting.
I wonder if Webroot is being overly cautious and marking any instance of CCleaner a Trojan.
It's very possible, but still, it's an awfully interesting thing to hear. Thanks.
Yeah, so you know that was my experience, and that happened. We're running Webroot on my wife's computer and on our secondary computer, and they've all come up with the same thing. So, and they were all running the 64-bit version. So, I just figured I'd let you know there.
Appreciate that. Thanks.
The other thing is, there was a strange thing happened with my neighbor. He bought a brand new Lenovo a couple weeks ago, a laptop, and he brought it home and he was trying to set it up and he couldn't connect to his wireless network. He didn't have a connection, and he called me over, so I went over, and he was trying all these things, and the stupid thing crashed. He got a blue screen of death, and I told him, I said, there's something wrong with this machine. Bring it back and get another one. And so he did, and I went over there the other day, and again, we set it up fresh out of the box. He didn't even touch it. And the wireless would not work on this computer. So out of just a hunch, I went into the hardware manager, and I checked for driver updates. And there was a driver update for his wireless card.
Uh-huh.
And it turned on and worked perfectly. Two of them out of the box, the wireless yep. wouldn't work.
And how do you update your drivers until you're connected to the network?
Yeah. Right. I had to plug it into his Ethernet.
Yep.
Right. Yep. That was the only thing that I could do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then his wireless came on, and I found it very strange yeah. that either they had a driver in there that wasn't working with, because it had the creator's update out of the box.
Yeah.
And maybe that was what broke the driver, but I couldn't figure out why out of the box I had an updated driver.
A lot of the big companies will just image their OS install and just write it out to, you know, the million computers. And then maybe the 800,000th computer changed the wireless card.
Right, because what happens, particularly with lower-end machines, is they buy in batches whatever's cheapest.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you may get an XYZ brand Model A1 in 100,000 machines, and then a Model A2 in 100,000 machines, then a Model 3, and by that point, it's broken.
Right, yeah. This wasn't a cheap laptop. They spent a lot of money on this thing. It's a beautiful laptop, mm-hmm. you know, 17-inch screen and full-size keyboard and an i7 processor, quad-core.
Nice.
It's pretty nice laptop.
It probably was an update to one of the, mm-hmm. the wireless chips, and
yeah.
they didn't test it.
Got missed.
And yeah, no, yeah. Got missed. Yeah.
Who knows how long it's been sitting in that box yeah. in a warehouse?
He was so angry.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
he's going, yeah. I would have never known to even do this. I have no idea how to do a driver update. I don't know anything about this. He goes, how do they expect people to take care of these problems? When you take them out of the box, you expect the stupid thing to work.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, you know?
And
he
Lenovo,
was really angry.
Lenovo got caught a couple of years ago pre-installing malware into their laptops, the Superfish malware.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. It wasn't supposed to be malware. It was a advertising and marketing, you know, company.
Right.
But it's most people considered it malware.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to throw that out there. I thought that was very interesting, you know, and he was right. You know, a lot of people don't know how to do that kind of stuff. If it comes up in a Windows update, it's one thing, but, you know, to just go in and get into your hardware manager and start right-clicking on things and updating them, a lot of people don't know how to do it.
Yep.
Right, absolutely.
So, anyways, well, thanks, gentlemen.
Thanks, Mark. We appreciate
yep.
it.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
Thanks.
I wonder if it could have been related to his brand of router, too. Maybe it did work at the factory.
Oh, that's an interesting possibility.
We've seen sometimes that some chips just don't like some brand routers.
That's right.
Doesn't make any sense. But sometimes it doesn't work.
Well, and this is, of course, has always been the problem with these things. You need to have more and more information
mm-hmm.
As you go along, and you really have to know that you have to know what you're doing nowadays.
How many combinations are there of computer circuit boards?
Dang, you're infinite.
Yeah.
And if we could only turn them into monkeys and put them in typewriters.
Yeah.
But the big thing, of course, is that nowadays. If you buy from a big box store or you buy online, you are on your own pretty much. You know, Mark's friend could certainly have called Lenovo tech support, but I'll guarantee you they wouldn't have known what to do because they know it works.
Yep.
It works in 100 million cases. You know, they did what Mark did, what, you know, I would have done for tech support. I would have said, look, we know this works. It's probably bad hardware. Send it back. And then he gets another one that's identical to it for symptoms. And it was only when he went in and did the upgrade
mm-hmm.
That it got fixed. And that's You know, that's so frustrating for people, and that's why we always tell people buy locally, and when you can, buy from an actual vendor.
And we've recommended in the past, when you buy a printer or peripheral, don't use the disk in the box, because who knows how long it's been sitting there. Download right. the latest driver. We're going to have to expand that to computers.
Right.
Don't trust the driver the computer came with. First thing you do is check for updates.
Yep. Yep. That's absolutely true. And, of course, updates aren't, as Mark pointed out, updates aren't easy on a computer itself. All right, listen, let's all take a little breather here for just a moment. And you've wasted an entire hour of your life with this nonsense, but you're going to get the chance to do it all again because we're not going anywhere. We've got a whole another hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe coming up. We'll take your calls. We'll talk about some news items. We'll muck around, and we'll have some fun all together. So don't go anywhere. Just stay tuned, and we'll be back with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. It is Soundbites. It is the truly great and truly grateful to you that we are member-supported. Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we have Sam from West Henrietta on the line. What's up, Sam? Sam, you
there?
Thank
you, gentlemen.
There you go.
Hello.
Yep, gotcha.
Thank you, gentlemen. Take my call. I got to buy a tablet for some kind of job. I don't know what kind to buy. And where can I buy it to get good service?
Well, a couple of things. If this job recommends, I mean, there's really, if you're talking about a tablet, there's really three things. You can get Windows or a Mac or an Android.
Or Chrome.
Well, Android of some sort. Yeah. Right, Google of some sort, yeah. Right? So the question is there a particular piece of software that you're supposed to run on this tablet?
Oh, I don't know yet. I haven't. They haven't told me about software.
Right. So that's the first thing to find out. If there is a particular piece of software that you must run for this job, then you need to know what operating system that piece of software runs on.
See their recommendations. They right. might have certain recommendations based upon, like Nick was just saying, their software and all that. They might want to recommend, thus saving you a lot of time of hunting around whether you need this brand, that brand, or whatever.
Okay. So who would give me good service?
Well, there's a number of places in town who offer excellent service. Although we have a couple of people who actually work in the industry here on this panel, we try not to specifically recommend any one place, right. since there are any number of very good ones in town.
And that's sort of the key, is a local person, someone you can talk to, that when you do have a question or a problem, you can go back there and talk to them.
Right.
And the other thing, too, again, going back to where you're going to be working for, you never know. That company that, you know, you've got to get the tablet for, might have a deal with certain organizations and support system to support their software. So, again, I would go back to that company, see what they recommend and who they use, and you might even get a better deal.
Right. If you've got the job and you're just waiting to start, they certainly won't say anything about you asking about that stuff. That's
right.
They'll love that, in point of fact, because the idea is that you're eager to start and want to
be proactive,
get ahead before you get there. Exactly right.
Oh, okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, I'm sorry we don't have any
question.
Yeah. I'm sorry we don't have an absolute answer for you, but you know, because of so many variables, there's nothing we can really say. You need to talk to them first.
Well, I know some of you guys on the panel saw that stuff too.
Right.
I understand that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can I ask you another question?
Of course.
On the I got this desktop I'm working on right now, and I sometimes get a constant beach ball. It takes forever. I get all kinds of lag time. I'm wondering what the problem is.
This is a Mac, of course.
No, Windows. Google.
How much memory does it have?
I don't know. They built it for me.
Yeah, here's the deal. There are a number of things that would cause lag. If it happens in your browser, then it is likely the other end, or you have a very slow internet connection. Do you get your internet connection from the cable company or from the phone company or from...
Cable company, local cable company.
Okay. Then it is in West Henrietta. We know who that is. The connection itself theoretically is not a problem. So it's one of two... Well, one of... Nobody expects Spanish position. It could be the speed of your connection. You can test that. By heading off, there are any number of places that do.
I like speedof.me because it doesn't require flash.
Right. If you go to speedof.me, we'll put up a link on our website at soundbites.org. But speedof.me will tell you what your internet speed is, and not just on the cable company's network, but really out on the internet. It will tell you if you're getting something very like what you should be paying for, what you are paying for, or if there's an issue. And if it's not the connection itself, then it's either the other end or your machine. And if it's your machine, it's one of two things. You've either got a virus, in which case you should dance the security tango, or you just don't have a lot of RAM, and you've got a bunch of stuff running.
Okay.
The minimum amount of RAM you really want is 4 gig, and you're better off with 8.
Oh, wow, okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
Okay. Beautiful, okay. Thanks, you guys. You're very helpful.
Yeah, good luck.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks.
And a lot of computers try to save on the cost by skimping on the RAM. Or they'll put a processor with less cache in it because it's cheaper.
Right.
And so, you know, you get an i7 processor, but it's only got, you know, 1 meg of cache in it. It's going to be slow. It's hampered by the cache.
Right. And that's the other thing we didn't say to Sam is it could be an i3, an i5, or an i7.
Yeah.
And, of course, the higher the number, the faster the chip and the better.
Because, you know, like where I work, we use tablets. That's how I run my whole day is off a Samsung tablet. And they, you know, the company supplies them, and they load it with the software.
Right.
Because, and, you know, they maintain it. So that's why I was telling him to, you know, if they recommend Samsung over, say, whatever. There's tons of them out there. But if they have had good luck with their particular software that they're running on those tablets, that's why he wants to go with that company's recommendations. Because if there's issues with the software that he's trying to run for that company and he goes with something else, you know, they might say, well, sorry, you're on your own. We told you to get this, this, or this.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So taking their guide, their lead.
Although many companies say it doesn't matter as long as it can run a web browser.
Yeah.
So, you know, and all the
right.
tablets
do that. And they may be right about that. You know, if a lot of companies are going to web-based stuff, the problem with all of that, of course, is that if you're in particularly in a job like yours where you're out on the road all day long, now you're using
cellular data
as opposed to Wi-Fi.
You need to get a tablet that has that cellular capability built into it, which
and somebody's paying for that because that ain't cheap.
Yep.
Well, they wound up
right. Well, right, but I mean the point is that's not it's you know if it's Wi-Fi if you're on the road, but you only use the thing when you're in a place, 99% of places have Wi-Fi these days. And I'll be honest, I don't go where there isn't Wi-Fi anymore. I just don't go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, my other Chromebook, the one I generally take around with me, does have cellular capability, and I get a little bit of free stuff from T-Mobile every month. But I don't use it because I only go places where there is Wi-Fi. And if I can't hook up to Wi-Fi, then I don't ever go back there.
There was a diner we were just at that says, we do not provide internet service, so there is no chat room services here. We recommend you talk amongst yourselves during dinner.
Yep, yep.
It's like, you know, that is so true. Because Sandy and I have been to more places, and we've seen places, you know, people, husband and wife, they're sitting at a table, and their faces are down in their phones.
That makes me kind of crazy.
And or the whole family. It could be a whole family of them. And they're sitting there, and they're all engaged in their phone. And like I've told you before, in my job driving around, I go up and down more streets, and you see folks constantly head down and into their phone. You know, they're not sitting there talking to other folks or anything else. They're all sitting there into their phones. Like, everything's got to be into the phone.
Yep.
It's like sad.
Very shortly, we'll start seeing that the number one injury is not texting thumb, but texting forehead.
Yeah. because they're running into things. Yeah, yep. Exactly. Yeah.
It's a problem. And I agree with you that when I'm out with people, I pay attention to people I'm out with. That's why I went out with them.
Yeah,
but if I want to go write or something like that, then I got to go someplace where there's wireless.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, definitely. It's the consideration, you know?
Right.
And I mean, and oh, the other thing that bugs me is you can be at a restaurant and somebody takes a phone call and it's like they got to scream halfway across the restaurant just so, you know, because they're having this conversation with somebody. You know, and you've got to listen to everything.
And if you ask you ask them to be quiet, and they say, "Do you mind? I'm on the phone."
Right.
Yes, I do mind. Get off
the
phone.
That's the whole point of my interrupting you.
Yeah.
And then the ones who put on speakerphone, like I really care about their conversation.
Yeah.
Or what really causes it so much is that so many people watch it on television, where you know somebody talks on a speakerphone and they're holding the phone like it's a slice of pizza they're about to take a bite out of. And they're talking into it, and people are doing that now. Well, they do it on television so you can hear both ends of the conversation, you idiot.
Yeah.
It's a thing that they do for television.
Mm-hmm.
But people are doing it in real life now.
Yeah.
Like, I care.
Of what? Yeah, your conversation is. I could, especially in a restaurant.
Right, right.
I'm sorry. I was always taught, you know, if you got to talk on the phone, get up and walk to outside or whatever. To a quiet corner, so you're not being disrespectful to the other folks that are having quality time with whomever.
Right.
But these folks that think they got to sit there and talk, you know, next booth behind you and scream.
Right. I saw a guy outside
I'm not doing anything. I'm just in a restaurant.
Right. Well,
yeah,
I was outside
doing something.
Right. 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 I was outside a restaurant, and there was a guy. As I was coming in, and there was a guy talking on the phone like that, holding it up like a slice of pizza and screaming while the other kept going, "I can't hear you. It's windy out here. Hold it up to your ear, you idiot."
Yeah.
What in the hell is wrong with you? It's windy, and I can't think of a solution for that.
Yeah.
Really? I guess it's just me.
No, you're.
Yeah,
it's our age.
Oh, here's this one excites me, actually. Android fan site Droid Life was on fire Tuesday with a big series of leaks of Google's upcoming hardware launches. After showing out pictures and pricing for the Pixel 2 and Pixel 2 XL, or will that be 10L?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, XL is 90.
Is 90? No, it isn't. That would be... it is. No, it's a 40.
No, L is 50. Yeah, so 40.
It takes them 40. The site has, the site has details on the new Google Home Mini, a second smartphone powered Daydream VR headset,
oh my God,
and a new flagship Chromebook Pixel.
I just typed in Roman to Google, and it suggested Roman numerals.
Nice.
How did it? It's listening to our conversation.
It knows everything.
It could have been Roman Army, Roman Legion.
No, Roman numerals.
Roman numerals.
That's right. The new Google Home Mini is a smaller version of the Google Home and retails for just $50. $49, because Steve thinks $49 is less than $50. significantly less than 50. The colors are chalk, which we think of as white or gray, charcoal, which we think of as black, and coral, which we think of as a pinkish red. Like the Amazon Echo Dot, the Google Home Mini skips the thumping speaker setup for a smaller, cheaper form factor meant more for commands and QA sessions rather than for music. Droid Life mentions that there aren't portable. These aren't portable. They still require a power plug. But other than that, not many details are available. In other news, the Chromebook Pixel is back. After being off the market for about a year, Google is once again producing a flagship Chromebook. Droid Life said the new laptop is called the Google Pixelbook and will retail for $1,200 or an iPhone. That price is for the 128-gig version. The Pixelbook has two more storage tiers, the 256-gigabyte version for $1,400 and the 512-gigabyte version for $1,730. There's also a pen. The Pixelbook pen is a $100 stylus that is pressure-sensitive and has tilt support. Wait a minute. Why does a Chromebook have storage tiers? Chrome OS is a cloud-centric operating system and still doesn't really use storage for anything unless you're really into Android apps, which can now run on the OS. There doesn't seem to be much point in the higher storage tiers. So they're really expecting people to do a lot of Android apps and put a lot of that stuff on their machines.
When's that going to be actually official?
Well, they're saying October 4th is the next Google event. Droid Life also had details on the new Daydream View VR headsets. These are smartphone-powered VR viewers with a three-axis controller. New colors, $20 price point has a jump in the price point, meaning it's now $100. Not sure what else here is new. The original Daydream didn't have any smarts at all, of course, in the headset. It was just cloth and plastic phone holder. So I can't imagine what Google's going to change there. Is the controller gift different? The picture looks just like the existing model. I guess we'll have all our questions answered at Google's October 4th event. Mark it on your calendars. Google will have their day. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes for more of our day with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 19 minutes after the hour. It's Sound Bites, and it's the truly grateful to be member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 24 minutes after the hour. We are Sound Bites, and it's 91 at 90.1.
90.
That's not bad.
For the second day of fall?
Yeah, that's not bad. Mm-mm.
Back to the Chromebooks and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, I'm still very disappointed. It's been over a year now. We've been touting to, about the Chromebook and that and being able to run the Android apps. And it's like my machine is all dressed up and ready to go, to be able to start downloading the Android apps, but I can't because they won't run yet.
Right. And it's Google clearly had some sort of last-minute issue because they were announcing that it was ready to go.
Yeah.
They clearly had some sort of last-minute issue that's made them very, very late.
Yeah,
but
over
hopefully,
a year now.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be out there. If there's anybody who's actually running Android apps, I'd actually love to know that because obviously I don't have a Chromebook that runs them.
Because supposedly you can run them in beta, I think?
Yeah. At this point, you can run them in the beta mode, but I don't want to run things
in
beta.
No, I don't want to do beta because
they won't run on a lot of laptops anyway and a lot of Chromebooks anyway. You have to have a certain level of everything, processor, memory, graphic capability, et cetera, et cetera. And for most of us, it's not, at this point, a big deal, but I think it's going to be a big selling point when you can tell people all the apps that you're used to on your phone, you can now get on your Chromebook as well as all the other things you can do with the Chromebook.
And again, we can't stress enough, folks, the nice thing about the Chromebook is it doesn't get spyware, doesn't get malware, doesn't get viruses, and you don't pay for an operating system because now with Windows 10, you don't own it, you're leasing it. And every year they're going to start saying, okay, well, it's time to renew your lease.
And if you don't, it stops working, which means you can't get any of your data.
Right, and that's going to be $100 or around $100, the price point I heard.
Yeah.
Yep. And they haven't officially announced it yet, but that's what all the signs are pointing to.
Yep. And I'm sure it'll actually be $99 if Steve will think it's cheaper.
Oh, yeah.
$99.99. Apple's one of the only companies that doesn't put that 99 cents on. Their prices, it's $99, no 99 cents.
But that's the thing, though. Instead of, before, folks, when you used to get, say, like Windows 7 or 8 or whatever, you bought it once. And, that's probably could still, Windows 7 could still be on your machine now. And you'd be, I paid for it when I bought the machine. Now it's going to be yearly. You just can't sit there and continue using the operating system.
You lease it.
You're leasing it. And the lease runs out. Sorry, that's it. So that's why we, haven't looked into it, can kind of really do your homework and see what you run on your machine and look into a Chromebook. Because there's been a number of folks I sit there, and I've talked to and said, well, what do you do? We can do that on a Chromebook. Do that on a Chromebook. And I bring mine down and I show them. Oh, well, that's fast. Yeah. And I store everything up on the cloud. Yeah, but is that safe? I says, I could be anywheres. I could leave my computer here. I could be out in California. Log into my Google account and I can see all the photos, all the notes, everything that I've put up on the cloud. And they're safe. And especially the pictures. Pictures are one thing, I've always told folks, documents and that, you can always recreate. But if you've got photos of loved ones and anything else that are precious to you, and that hard drive dies and they're gone. You can't get them back and there's no, recreating that moment. And there's a number of them that I have and there's thousands of photos that I have now up on Google Photos. It's the only place I put them. Because they know they're going to be there forever.
We ask people that. Would you cry if your computer died and you lost everything on it? And sometimes the answer is, I thought it was backed up to the cloud. If you have to think about it, check it. Be sure. When was it last backed up to the cloud?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. My machine, I run a Linux machine, and I've written cron jobs that back up everything at 2 o'clock every morning.
Mm-hmm.
They go through everything. Anything that's changed gets backed up. So the actual backup takes, first time it took 3 days.
Yeah.
Now it takes nothing. But still, my documents are all in Google Docs as well. My documents are all in photos. My pictures are all in photos.
There's no reason folks shouldn't have it up there because it's free.
Right. And every once in a while, and this is the only issue that I have with any of this stuff, is that it's not automated. You have to remember to do it by hand. Google has something called Google Takeout, which used to be called the Google Data Liberation Front, which I like better. But the basic idea there is you can go in and say, I want all my pictures downloaded. I want all my documents downloaded. And depending on how many there are, it can take quite a while. They zip them all up, and maybe in multiple zips because obviously you have so many. And then you can download them, stick them on a thumb drive, and put them away.
So I Googled the Google Takeout to put the link up, and it's giving me restaurants nearby.
Nice. I think it's takeout.google.com, I think. In the meantime, I suddenly couldn't remember how to spell Batavia. We're going to go to Pat in Batavia, New York. Hiya, Pat. What's up?
Well, you guys are once again, rightfully so, by the way, touting the Chromebook. And just a thought, I know it's been said before, but it's probably worth repeating, that you can get a bootable thumb drive. So what Dave's point about ask them, what do you do, actually try it out. Get a bootable thumb drive, you boot up in the Chrome OS, and start using it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not converting your machine over. You're kind of dipping your foot in the water or toe in the water.
Right.
You're actually using the Chromebook.
Test driving.
And
Mm-hmm.
Test drive, right, exactly.
Yep.
And it doesn't cost anything. And you immediately can see for yourself because there's nothing like actually typing on the computer. It's Dave and you guys can swear up and down it's wonderful, but until a person actually does it,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah, until they've test drove it, mm-hmm. do they know the experience?
Right. And I tell people all the time, people say, well, I know you love the Chromebook. Should I get one? I don't know. Here's how you find out. Go sit at your computer and use nothing but the Chrome browser. how much of your day can you get through? It's that easy. Mm-hmm. If you can get through in, you know, a week, a month, whatever you want to, however long you want to test it, using nothing but the Chrome browser and all of the add-ons that you can add to the Chrome browser, if you can do that, then you can use a Chromebook. And I performed that test. And programming is a little hard, so I still do that on my desktop.
All right.
But everything else... And I can program on my Chromebook if I want to, but in general, everything else I do, I lived in my browser for actually almost 2 months just to give myself, you know,
well, the other
peace
thing
of mind, and it works great.
And the other thing, though, too, is that through the Chrome store, you can sit there and get apps to listen to music, edit photos, and you can have those on your taskbar down below to do everything you wanted to do.
Right. I've got a 256 gig thumb drive in my other machine.
Mm-hmm.
So when I take it somewhere to write, I can pop in the headphones and listen to music. And if I finish 256 gigabytes of music, I just pop in another SD card and listen to another 256 gigabytes of music. Or, of course, I can stream stuff and it blah, 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 mm-hmm. depending on where I am. And so it's really... you're right, Pat. It's something you should play with. And if you don't feel like you're technically savvy enough to create a bootable thumb drive and do it that way, just live in Chrome. Get your mail through Gmail. Get your
and Gmail can pick up mail from other services.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if you happen to have another mail service, you can still read your mail in Gmail on a Chromebook.
Yeah.
Right. And I use it. I edit audio in it. I edit video in it. I edit. I do CAD stuff. Although I stink at CAD. I mean, I stink at CAD. But that's not the Chromebook.
Mm-hmm.
That's the operator.
Picnic.
Right. So I can do dang near anything I want to do. Is it different from a program I might be used to in Windows? Some. But 99.999999% of it is free, and 99.999999% of what I do, I can do in the Chromebook. So it really.
Yeah, I think the whole thing is if you say to people, well, you know, would you be willing to use this free program that's a little different than what you're paying for, it's kind of up to them.
Yep.
You know, and if maybe they're only paying $29, maybe they don't want to change. But if there is $300-$400, you know, that free is very attractive.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's exactly right. And the only way you'll know is for you to do the research yourself. It amazes me. People will go out and research cars, and they'll go out and research stereo systems, and they'll research everything else. They'll spend months figuring out every little gnats behind piece of what they want. And then when they want a brand new laptop, which they're going to use every single day of their lives, they just say, well, what do you use? I'll get that.
Or they buy the cheapest
again,
one.
Again, probably you have to repeat for new people or people that are maybe fresh thinking or rethinking. My two Chromebooks are old laptops that were obsolete. One of them, both of them I stopped using. One was my wife's. Windows 10 wouldn't work for the software that she has to use. So I said, buy a new laptop. She said, really? I said, I wouldn't hesitate, so you shouldn't either. So her old one's sitting around. I said, hey, how about a Chromebook? Boom. You know, took a little bit of time.
Yeah.
And the same way was one that my daughter used for years. And then she graduated into the smaller style. And she took to college back in, probably 8 years ago.
Right, and the easiest way to do that is...
It was sitting there, and I thought, why not? What's the worst going to happen?
Right.
You know, the worst is going to happen is not working, and I'm not using it.
Right, exactly right. And the easiest way to do that is to go to neverwear.com?
Absolutely. So they give you all the instructions. I also recommend, you know, YouTube videos on it. YouTube videos on Neverwear. There are Neverwear instructions on YouTube videos. And if you're still a little anxious, because there was some things I just wasn't sure, so I looked up some videos. I had a couple hiccups, but it was worth the effort to get them converted. So, amen, brothers.
All right, thanks.
Okay, we'll see you.
Bye-bye. Yeah, if you go to neverware.com, they have a program called Cloud Ready. And there are versions for education and for the enterprise and the yada, yada, yada. But the home version is absolutely free. Now, you don't get the management console, which you need for multiple machines, but it's home. And you don't get automatic Microsoft OneDrive integration, and you don't get phone support. But other than that, it's exactly the same product, and it's absolutely free. So if you've got an old laptop around, or as Pat says, if you feel that you know how to create a bootable thumb drive, you can test it out, play with it on any old hardware you've got lying around. Well, maybe not a 286. I actually have a 286. I've been finally starting to clean the computer room, and I found some very old machines sitting in a corner.
That's just the museum.
That's the museum. I've just got a museum sitting in the corner. And so the Cloud Ready, I've actually put on a couple of laptops, and it's pretty good. We have about a minute to a break, but we can at least get the question from our friend Smiley from Penfield. What's up, Smiley?
I'm in Henrietta.
Oh, you're in Henrietta. I read that wrong. I apologize.
Just a stone's throw from where you teach.
That's exactly right, except I'm not teaching this semester.
Oh, okay. They threw you out. I got a notice about this here droid. It's called fdroid.apk. Would that run on a Chromebook? Would it do anything on a Chromebook?
I don't know fdroid.apk, although if it's an APK file, it would be something that would run on an Android device, and it looks like it's a repository of stuff, and I don't know much about it at all. I would be a little wary.
Looks like it's a catalog.
I thought it was like keeping up your droids updated in that.
Right. I honestly know very little about it. I see it here in front of me, and that's pretty much where we all stand with it right now.
Oh, okay. I just thought I'd throw it at you.
No, I appreciate that. Thanks.
All right.
Yeah, the one I found, if it's F-droid, it's a list of free and open source applications for Android. And part of me is thinking, isn't that the Google Play Store?
Yeah, it is.
Or the Android Store. Yeah. But, yeah, it's kind of neat to have a list of possible apps you might want to run.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 39 minutes after the hour at Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and Jerry from Webster has joined us on the line. What's up, Jerry?
Hi, guys. Excuse me if you may have covered this earlier. I wasn't able to tune in, but...
What?
I wasn't able to tune in earlier.
What?
Anyway, with this Equifax compromising situation, I've tried to get in their website a couple of times, at different times, and haven't been able to do that. I get in there, and I get this thing called a reCAPTCHA error, and I was wondering if there's any other way to try to get into it. I heard on the news yesterday or the day before that there was a bogus website that somebody put up on there, and people are having trouble with that, too.
Yeah, here's the deal.
Really getting into it.
Yeah, here's the deal. We did talk about this earlier, but let me recap. It's also up on our website. At soundbites.org as one of the stories. It's titled Cybersecurity Incident and Important Consumer Information Equifax. But basically, to recap, as you know, Equifax had a breach, 147 billion or zillion or maybe only million people were affected. And, if you go to their website, they will, tell you that if, and their website is equifax.com, and they will send you to a site called EquifaxSecurity2017.com, which is their legitimate site. Whois says they own it. And you can check your by putting your last name in the last six digits of your Social Security number, which, by the way, are the hard six to guess, that they will be able to tell you whether or not you were affected by the breach. Now, what happened was there was a security researcher who was talking about how easy it is to spoof websites. So the minute EquifaxSecurity2017.com came out, he created SecurityEquifax2017.com, and then threw away all of the information that he was gathering, but did it to prove the point that it's easy to make a mistake and go to a fake site. I did a bunch of research, published a paper, yada yada yada. The problem was, on Equifax's website, they were sending you to the fake one.
Oops.
And so that's cleared up now. They're now sending you to their own website. The guy who put up the fake website has said that, you know, he's a legitimate researcher. We know that. We know his credentials. And he said, no, I didn't keep any of the information. I put it up to make a point and to write a paper, not to steal anybody's information. And again, like I said, we know he's a legit guy, so we're tending to believe him.
Well, I did go to that Equifax Security 2017 website. I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before, and I got the same error message, that recaptcha error. Maybe they've corrected it since that time, but I kicked it in to see if I've been compromised or not.
I was there just today. It was working fine.
Okay.
Now I don't. Are you using a cookie blocker?
Or an ad blocker of any type?
I don't think so. No.
Yeah, because I am, and I still got in, but I don't know. And what is the exact error message you get?
It's called recaptcha error, RECAPTCHA error. And that's what I've been getting.
And what else does it say?
Well, you can't get in. You'd have to retry again. So I don't know if it's due to volume that they're not able to get you through or what, but someone's trying to get in there.
And this is when you're trying to type okay the captcha to enter your information, right?
Right. So I could try again. I haven't, like I said, maybe it was yesterday I tried or the day before, but I was up to that point. I wasn't able to get in.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Generally speaking, that error means try again, essentially.
Mm-hmm. But you said it was working today fine then.
It was working an hour ago. I was just there during the show, as a matter of fact, checking to see that I was not one of the people who was. I am proud to say that I was, because, you know, I'm proud because I did something. Actually, I did nothing to not be one of those people. Steve just went there and it worked for him. So if it's still not working for you, let me suggest you try a different browser.
Okay, I will do that.
And see what happens.
And,
I don't know what else to tell you. What browser do you use?
I've got Google.
Yeah, me too. In fact, I'm on a Chromebook. So theoretically, it should work. That's just really weird. Also, of course, it's ironic since Google owns the captcha site, the software that they use. So, but yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know what to tell you. It could be something in your machine. Try a different browser is all I can say. Sorry.
I tried on a desktop. I also tried on a laptop also, and the same result.
It's so weird.
Have to, like you recommended, removing the cookie blocker on that.
Yeah, if you've got a cookie blocker, remove it. I have set mine, you know, there's three levels. Block all cookies, block third-party cookies, and don't block any cookies. I block third-party cookies, but not all cookies, and maybe that's the difference.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'll try that.
All right, good luck. Yeah, it's when it comes to something like that, clearly the sometimes the error is at the far sight, right? Not your end. It's mm-hmm. at the other end.
Yeah.
And there's nothing anybody can do about that.
Yeah, no. It is what it is.
But in this case, it could easily be. One of the problems that we're starting to have is the complexity. You know, you think to yourself, oh, this will be good. I read about a thing that said don't take cookies. So I blocked cookies. And you forget about that. And 6 months later, a year later, it comes back to bite you. And now you don't know why, because yep. you don't remember even changing your cookies.
And now a lot of websites are even saying we use cookies and you have to turn them on.
Right. So far, I haven't. Well, I don't take third-party cookies.
Right, third-party cookies you can usually block. You know, right. First-party and second-party are okay.
Right. There are first-party cookies. I guess since you're the first-party,
yeah.
there are second-party cookies. And then if I go to Google.com, that would be a second party cookie.
Right.
But if Google has an ad to some other website, that would be a third party cookie. And those are the ones I'm rejecting.
Right.
I reject third party cookies, but not direct cookies. So a lot of places that say we use cookies. I'm fine with it as long as it's their cookie. You know, and now I want a cookie. Give a mouse a cookie. Yeah, there's donuts over there. I understand that.
There's still cake, too.
And there's still cake, of course. Cake.
I should have brought some cookies in. I just made some chocolate chip.
Oh, well, don't Bogart them, man.
I'll bring some in next week.
All right. Well,
I figured I was bringing the donuts, so.
That's true. You brought the donuts this week. But Steve was kind enough to bring in some of his birthday cake. We all had our birthdays, all four of us.
Yeah.
The three of us and Soundbites itself had our September birthdays. Yep. Steve was Wednesday and you were Tuesday, I think is the way that worked.
No, he was Tuesday, I was Wednesday.
Okay. Yep. Okay, you're a day apart from each other, and I always forget which ones.
But yours.
I know which one's older.
Yeah.
What, a day apart in 15 years?
Yeah, right.
Did you just turn what?
I'm 53 now.
Puppy.
Yeah.
He's a puppy. He's the second youngest person in the building.
I've got socks that old.
Yeah, right. Well, you got to go buy new socks, I'm thinking.
No, there are an old pair that my dad had, and they're the old wool sock. No, they're a wool sock, you know, the gray with the red toe.
Son, this is what we use to make vodka.
Yeah. My wife just found a darning egg and was talking to our son. You don't even know what this is, do you? And I wanted to say, you don't seem to either. I did not say that.
Well done. But you know it.
Well. Unless yelling "darn it" all the time, I have find a hole in my sock is enough.
My daughter used to come into my room and the computer room where I would be working, and the TV would be out in the background. She'd look at it and go, black and white. And she'd walk out again. And now that she's older, she watches some black and white films. Not quite like I do.
Mm-hmm.
But she does. And we were talking about what's the first movie you remember seeing in the movie theaters. And for me, and yes, I'm old, it was the first run of Pinocchio.
They had movies then?
They had movies then, yes. Shut up. Well, luckily for Steve, that music tells me that we are done for another week. I want to thank everyone who called in. I apologize to those to whom we did not get really call earlier next week. We are delighted that each and every one of you joined us, and we're delighted that we are going on and continuing into our 28th year. Into our 29th year with Soundbites. We're old, but so far at least not forgotten. And don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael's here to keep him on the straight and narrow. And we will be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest running computer show in the known and unknown universe. It's Soundbites on the truly great and member supported Jazz 90.1. It's 55 minutes after the hour, and we will see you in exactly 166 hours.